This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word. All right, well, where we are with our study is we are studying the principle of the path. My lesson, I keep calling it, Where Are You Going? And the emphasis for us so far has been for us to just really recognize and acknowledge where are the things that we are currently doing in our lives going to end up? Where are those things taking us? Because direction determines destination. And so we've been talking about that. And what we're going to do is we're going to build backwards this whole step-by-step kind of thing that happens with this principle. That is, the destination being the final thing, our direction determining where that destination is, our decisions determining our direction, and our thoughts determining our decisions. And then what we're going to do is end by talking about, well, what things will determine what our thoughts are, because that's really where it starts. And what we're going to realize is that there are a lot of things that determine what our thoughts are. Some of them we have control over, some of them we don't. But we certainly must recognize what we have control over and work at making sure that those things are at least in line with what we should be thinking about. Because those things determine our thoughts, and our thoughts determine our decisions. Our decisions determine our direction. Our direction determines our destination. So that's it. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And what we've done so far, remember we talked about, I challenged you guys, where do you want to end up? That was the first question. What destinations do you want? And then we talked about our habits. What is it that we're doing today? Because those habits, those are our direction, and those have a destination. Every single habit we have has a destination, has some place where it's going to take you. So we talked about those kinds of things. Asked lots of questions about that to try to get us thinking in those ways. We've had lots of great scriptures. We've gone through this. Now, last week we started talking about a really important point having to do with this, and that is that we can acknowledge, I've got this habit here that's if I were to continue that, it would end up here. Yeah, you're right. I should really stop that, but we don't. We just keep right on going. And we studied last week Proverbs 22:3, a passage that I think all of us should memorize. It's one that we are going to memorize in our household, because I think that for my kids, it is one that that will open up the opportunity to have this conversation with them, to help them to realize, okay, what you're doing today, it may seem innocent, but where's it going to end up? And are you sure that that's where you really want to be? So Proverbs 22:3, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple or the naive keep going and suffer for it. And so that's what we talked about last week. And we talked about how I should really change that, but we don't. We go to church and feel all convicted and think, oh man, that was great, awesome. I really felt close to God because I recognized that I shouldn't, needed to change this or whatever. But then the very next week we don't. And so I'll ask you, and the reason I'm going over this is I'll ask you, all right, we've now for 3 weeks been talking about this idea of our habits having a destination, and some of them not being where we want to go. Has anybody actually done anything with this yet? No, like we talked about, there are many different time frames for the direction and the destination that those directions take us to. The point isn't about being perfect or anything like that. It is simply about being able to say, okay, if I want my marriage, if I want to still be married to that woman 30 more years from now, then is this activity that I have in my life with this other female that's not sinful, right? I'm not doing anything yet, but is that direction going to help me get to that destination? It only indirectly has to do with sin or anything, what it has to do with is making wise decisions. It has to do with seeing the trouble in the distance, and instead of going, wow, I should really change my direction, crash, instead of saying, man, I'm going to stop, I'm turning around, because I know where that's going to go. And so it's defining what I want to have in my life, understanding that even if I get rid of the other chick, and I'm and, which I am considering. So, you know, even if I do get rid of her, and even if I am, try hard to be a good husband, all that, it doesn't guarantee me that 30 years from now I'll still be married to her, because we're talking about two adults here, both of whom make decisions. She could make her own bad decisions that would result in us not being married 30 years from now. But what I can do today is make decisions that are in line with the destinations that I want. And that's what Proverbs is all about. And by the way, I think I share some of your thoughts. I used to have a really big problem with Proverbs, even though I love them, right? I mean, I've studied them, and I would sit and I would study them. I memorized many of them and would think about them often and try to live by them, right? I mean, you wake up every morning and you spend time here in Proverbs, you end up living them. And the problem that I had was, okay, God, you say that, I'm trying to think of one. There you go. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Which is a principle. It is a principle, and what I didn't understand, it's not a promise. It is a principle, and I had a really hard time getting over that hump. But what we have to do is take the principles from the wisest man that ever lived, and live in that direction. Point ourselves in that direction, knowing that if we don't do that, I mean, if I stick with the chick over here, then I can guarantee what's going to happen with this marriage, right? I mean, if I keep going in that direction, I know what's going to happen. That's the destination of my having a developing relationship with another woman. That's guaranteed. Now, trying to, you know, getting rid of that, trying to line myself up with the destination of doing whatever it takes to be married to her 30 years from now, makes it much more likely that we'll get there. It's not a guarantee, but the principle is there. And so what we're studying is the principles that will drive us toward the destinations that where we want to go, recognizing there are going to be potholes on that road, recognizing that there may be an unexpected crash completely unrelated to anything that we've done, because sin and sometimes punishment and sometimes God's training happen in life in ways that can seem to derail us from those principles. But nonetheless, the only hope we have of getting there is to follow these principles and realize that the destinations that Proverbs points us to aren't necessarily happiness. The destinations that God calls us to aren't necessarily happiness, ease, comfort, that kind of stuff. But they are, as you say, kingdom-focused, kingdom-centric, and for God's glory. And that's what we're focused on. What we're talking about here doesn't guarantee the destinations that we've talked about. But what we are certain of, right? I mean, if we're going south on 75, it doesn't guarantee we're getting to Tampa. But if we're going north on 75, I can promise you won't. That's the one thing I know for sure. You know, that's interesting, because I don't know if we're going to get there today, but that's one of the things that we're absolutely going to talk about, Lord willing, is what kinds of things are typically those kinds of things that will derail you. So that's an interesting thing that you brought, that you came up. Yes, Bruce. Yeah, there are some certainties in that, right? I mean, the certainty is that if I continue that, that's not going to turn out well. That's the one thing we're sure of. And so this idea, the prudent see danger and take refuge, the simple keep going and suffer for it. That was a huge one that we talked about last week. And the reason we talked about it was for us to recognize, okay, these things that we recognize in our lives where we're going in the wrong direction, we can agree all day long. Yeah, boy, I need to change that. You're right. I really should stop doing that. Or I should really start. You're right. You know, you really are right. Or when we feel so convicted at church, that's all fine and good. But it doesn't change the destination a bit to say that and to agree that, yeah, I should really change that. And the problem is, as we talked last week, there comes a point of no return. There comes a point after which there's nothing that you can do that looks good. I mean, right now with the chick, the hypothetical chick, okay? So we had a few lunches together, right? I know the direction that it's going. There will come a point, if I continue that, where it will be too late and I will not have any good solutions. I will not have any good decisions to choose from. I will get to the point that there will be no good outcome, guaranteed. But right now, we're just having a few lunches. Right now, I could stop it, maybe be a little embarrassed, maybe hurt a little bit, maybe hurt her a little bit. But I can stop and I can still get out of this without any bad outcomes. But there comes a point when it's too late. Jill, that is so right. Yep. Yeah, that's right. And we're going to talk more about this, but as I was studying that aspect of what we're going to be talking about, I know this is a horrible example, worse than most. For those of you who have seen the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which is a requirement for working at Apple, by the way, being able to quote it word for word. There's a scene in there, and I can't. Is it Sir Robin? I don't. Anyway, one of the knights in the Monty Python movie shows up at the Castle Anthrax, which is not a.
No, it wasn't very.
Sir Lancelot shows up. The Sir Lancelot the Pure shows up at this. He shows up at this castle, and all there are these women who are all nymphomaniacs, and they keep trying to tempt him. And it's not. I told you it's not a great example, but I'm getting to the point. Just hold it. Give me 30 more seconds, Judge. Give me 30 more seconds. Where all of a sudden these other knights come to rescue him from the Castle Anthrax, where he is being tempted by all these sex-starved women. And he says, no, I'm okay. I can stand a little temptation, you know, and he tries to keep from being rescued so that he can stay there and get as close as he can to the temptation that was coming at him. And that's exactly what we do. Like I said, not a great example, but I will recommend the movie highly.
First he's like, he holds up his shield. He's like, no, I must not. And he runs away from this girl. And then another girl comes, oh, well. You know, and then he's like, no. And he keeps saying no. And then there comes a point when he's like, no.
Yeah, I think I'll go back in and just withstand a little bit more temptation. And the whole point is, as Jill said, we oftentimes really don't want to say no. And we have a line somewhere that we're going to cross, but we do try because we want it. The verse, and I'm sorry, James something, where the scripture says that, you know, that God doesn't tempt us, but we are tempted by our own lusts. For every one of us, it's something different, but we've got that temptation that it's just right there. And we don't want to say no because it's what our flesh wants. And so, yeah, we get way too close, way too easily. And there is that point after which there are no good options. And that's something for us to consider as we continue delaying doing anything about the stuff that we've been talking about. That's good. Oh. Yep. Yes. You can write up a financial plan, and just as the case with all these other things, our current financial direction needs to be changed. Oh man, I really should change that. I need to go see Bruce and get a financial plan. And boy, there's great intention there. There's a great plan there. And we take the plan home and file it and don't do a thing about it. We're going to end up just as far in debt as we were before we wasted all of his time. And so we've got to, if we're going to turn around, we've got to turn around. And if not, then we could just keep going. Yes, you and the... in the front.
You know, I love Dennis Prager. I listen to him as much as I can. He's a very wise man. He talks about all different topics, but Friday, I caught him, and he said this before, but it just really, he just said it so succinctly. He said, you know, today, young people are taught that the biggest problems in the world are external. You know, what things happen to you, what people do to you, society, whatever. He said, I was raised that Dennis's biggest problem is Dennis. It comes from inside. It's my own character. And I thought, that is wisdom.
Yeah, it
is.
Of
course, he teaches the Torah. He's very involved with that, you know, God's word. Of course, he's not a Christian. He doesn't follow the New Testament, but he knows God's word. And he said, basically, what we all know is that man is flawed, humans are flawed, and that our biggest problem is us. And yeah, we get tempted by this person or that situation or that thing to buy, but the real problem is, like James says, we're drawn away by our own lust. We need to be honest with ourselves that, yeah, there's problems in the world, absolutely, but the real problem, the biggest problem is me.
Yeah, that is such the case.
In the world where humans generally come from, yeah. I mean, yes, there are some that come from earthquakes and stuff like that, but most of the things that affect people's lives affect other people and their own.
Yep. Oh, and one more thing, Elizabeth Elliot said, sorry, I've said this before, but she said,
you didn't have to prepare
that. I guess not. We're still in the introduction from.
Well, it goes along with this, and again, this stuck with me. Really wise words. And she said, "You want a strong-willed child, because people confuse strong will with rebellion." She goes, "No, no, no. It's not rebellion. You want a strong will because it's the ability to say no to oneself." Hmm. And that is like the hardest thing.
And a prayer that we ended up with last week was one that I'll remind you of again. One that would be a great one to pray daily. God, please help me see danger a long way off. Have the wisdom to know what to do and have the courage to do it. God, help me to see danger, trouble, a long, long way off. Have the wisdom to know what to do, have the courage to do it. So that's where we ended last week. Yeah, this is funny. And so the next question is, how do we know what path to take? How do we know what decision to make? And, you know, how do you know that when you picked somebody that you were going to marry, how did you know that that was the right one, the right person to marry? Getting married is definitely a path with a definite destination. How did you know that was the right one? How do you know that your relationship with alcohol is going to take you where you want it to go? This is something that Andy asks. In your mind, you have a destination. Will alcohol take you there? How do you know that your current financial direction is going to get you where you want to go? How do you know what decision to make? We definitely don't have time to go down the wrong path and all these important things. But here's something that's really important. I think I've mentioned this a time or two before. How many of you know really, really smart people who have done really stupid stuff and ended up on the rocks one way or another. All of us know someone. It may have been us. But information isn't what we need. Otherwise, smart people would be way down all the right paths, but they're not. So we need something more than information. What is it? Well, think about somebody or yourself when you think, okay, yeah, here was a situation, really bad outcome. And you look at them, and if they were to come to you, that person that you're thinking of, and say, well, what did I do wrong? You could probably tell them. And, you know, you could say, well, gosh, if you would have just not borrowed all that money, then you wouldn't have gone broke. And the person says, well, that's easy for you to say now. Hindsight is 20/20, is probably what they would say. That's what we all say. That's how we all excuse all the negative outcomes that we have in our lives. Well, here's a really important thing to remember. God has 20/20 hindsight about today and about the future. For him, it's all done. For him to be able to be the one who can inform you and lead you and help you, he's the one who has the hindsight that you would want to have yourself. So here's a couple of verses that I want for us to think about that will help us to define what our directions should be. And this is one that hopefully you all know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If you don't know that by memory, then slap yourself on the forehead and get it done. Yeah, trust. Look it up. When you see it, you'll probably say, oh yeah, I kind of know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now, that last phrase there, does that phrase make you think that this verse fits into our study appropriately? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Absolutely. So let's see what this verse says. In fact, we've got time for this. We're going to break up into groups. Come on, people. Oh, gosh. Okay, we won't break up into groups. My goodness. Yes, ma'am. Yes, he will make your path straight. Yes.
And am I taking it too literal? Because we drop off, we
hear. Well, and that's actually a really good point that you're making, because that is the sense of what Solomon is telling us God will do for us, is he will make our paths straight. He will make our direction clear. He will clear the path for us. All of those things are what comes out of this phrase right there. And when you talk about making our paths straight, isn't it interesting, and this is like the next section of our lesson, but isn't it interesting that most of the time, the things that get us in trouble aren't the things directly in front of us, but the things that we see on the side. And how many times does the Scripture say, keep looking ahead, don't look to the right or to the left? See how this all fits together. You're right, our paths are often that way, but most of the time, it's those distractions that are getting us off track from the destination that we want, that God wants for us. So absolutely, that's in there. And yes, that is what it means. Figuratively, of course, but for our lives, for our direction, yes, keeping them straight. Yes, absolutely. So let's, we're not going to break up into groups. So let's talk about the four sections of these two verses, because there are four clear sections. First of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What do you think the key words are in that phrase? Trust and all. Yeah. What does it mean to trust in God? You can get a hint, by the way, from the next phrase. Knowing that he's right. Absolutely. He knows all of the details. Absolutely. Leave everything at his feet. That's good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This verse is really telling us, and that's one of the things about Proverbs, by the way, if you ever read through over and over and over again, you realize that there's a common pattern that Solomon used. Most of the time, I won't say most of the time, many times, what Solomon will do is use different words, but really he's talking about opposites, contrasting principles, contrasting direction. And that's what's going on here. And so what you can do is you can actually look at the second phrase and help use that to help you understand the first phrase. So he's talking here about leaning on God. Trust in God with all your heart. Lean on him instead of yourself. Lean on God. Trust him, knowing that he knows everything, but trust in him. And with all of your heart is a key point for many of us. And when we get down in a moment, that word's going to come up again, all, that we really don't have trust for him in with all of our heart. We don't trust him with all of our heart. I don't know that we even know what that would look like. It'd be pretty awesome. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. We've talked about having lots of information, and that doesn't help us a bit, having all sorts of information. Well, what does help us? Trusting in God. That's what helps us, leaning on him instead of our own. You know, I think that for us to recognize something about this would be helpful. Most of us in this room have areas of expertise. We really are pretty good. In fact, we might be great at something. We're trained, we're educated, we're experienced, we're skilled in these particular areas. And those areas, we're on our own, and we're happy about it. We do our own thing, our own way in those areas. In areas that we don't know anything, those are the ones, oh, God, help me. I don't know what to do here. I don't know what I'm doing. But what about those areas where we do? I think Bruce, to use you as an example, someone with Bruce's background, experience, and skill set and job would be incredibly inclined to trust in his own, lean on his own understanding when it comes to their financial matters. And yet, Scripture here says, all on God. Don't lean on your own understanding. And so even in the areas where we think we've got it nailed, those might be the most concern for us to focus on making sure that we trust God with them. And having faith is really hard, but it is trusting in God completely, right? He says, here's the direction, here's the path, here's what I want you to do, and then trusting him with it, doing it, right? Doing it and trusting him that the outcome is going to be okay. Yeah. Good. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? What does that look like? In all your ways, acknowledge him. You've considered him in the decision, in the direction, in the path. And I hate to admit it, gosh, maybe this study's just for me. As I've gone through this stuff, I keep getting shocked about my own state and how that things that I know and that I would just assume I'd been doing, I haven't. As I thought about that, in all your ways, acknowledge him, I started thinking, God, have I included you in this decision? Have I included you in this part of my life? Have I gone to you with this problem? And the answer has been no, no, no. And I am just shocked by that. I think that it's beyond wisdom, beyond knowledge, beyond everything that we can get from other people around us. It is really setting all that stuff aside and just focusing on God. Instead of, and allowing those things to come later. But first of all, priority, leaning on God first before anything else. What it boils down to is this. We don't need information. We need submission. And if you want one word, Pamela, to answer your question from a moment ago, it is intentional submission to God before you even know what the options are. God, my answer to you is yes. Now what's the question? Now what's your direction to me? But establishing, first of all, yes, God, I will say yes to you. And I am looking to you in every situation in life. And I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do, and that's what I'll do. Submission. Here's what God says. He says, after we submit, I want to make your path clear. I want to clear the way. I want to help you know which path to choose. But listen to this. It doesn't begin asking for direction. It begins with absolute and total submission. That's where you start. So oftentimes we want to hear from God and say, you know, God, what do you want me to do here? And we're waiting for help. God, help me to know what to do. And we don't hear anything, and there's a reason for that. Because he knows that we're just wanting his opinion so that we can choose from that or maybe something else that we've already thought up. Submission first, a yes answer first. Once that's established, once that submission is there, he will direct our paths. That's what this passage tells us. But we first have to acknowledge him. All right, that's where we'll stop now. And let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for our study. I pray that you will use it in our lives to change us, to change our direction, to change the destination for each one of us in areas where we are not in line with you, where our direction is not for the best, for your best, for our best. Help us, Lord.